meeting with some differences today because of the coronavirus. And if you could see the sight that I could see, I'm preaching really to an empty church. What Dr. Paisley used to say was Mr. and Mrs. Woods and Timothy Timber. Like, just except for the odd elder and deacon here, I don't mean they're odd in that sense of being strange, but just few, very, very few in number to be an encouragement, one sitting here and here and maybe over there. We're living in strange days. Just before coming out, I was able to put together a little video for our missionaries. We want to encourage them as they serve the Lord in various parts of the world. And I was reminding them that we're living in strange days. Churches are closed for public gatherings like this for the preaching of the word. We're also living in sad days because there are many people and they are sick. And thousands of people already have died. And we're living in sovereign days when God is on the throne. He's working out his purposes in the earth. And we know that within our hearts as the Lord's dear people, that God Almighty is doing what pleases him in the nations of the world at this time. We're also living in seeking days, a time when God's people are seeking the Lord at the throne of grace, and rightly so, and seeking to pray our way through here in the province, across the United Kingdom, across the world for that matter, as we look to the Lord for deliverance in a time of crisis. And we're living in serving days. It's not the time to sit back and do nothing, but a time to press on with the work of God, with the means that we have. And one of the means that we have is sermon audio, Facebook, over the internet, seeking to share the things of the Lord. I want to say a few things just at the beginning of the service with regard to the decision that our presbytery came to. The General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster has a statement on behalf of the Presbytery's Executive Committee. The Presbytery's Executive Committee meeting on Thursday afternoon, the 19th of March, 2020, to discuss the increasingly serious situation in the United Kingdom created by the coronavirus pandemic, decided that all public worship services and all free Presbyterian churches are to be postponed with immediate effect. This solemn decision was taken with heavy hearts and with great reluctance. However, this decision was necessary for the following reasons. It is our Christian duty as a church to uphold the Lord's clear instruction in Matthew 22, verse 39, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Among other issues, this injunction means that in the midst of this deepening health crisis, we must exercise a duty of care towards our own church families, members, and adherents. In addition, we are to exercise the same duty of care towards society in general, to proclaim the message of God's love for sinners in both common and saving grace, and then fail to act responsibly in taking all necessary measures to protect them in the face of this virus would be sheer hypocrisy. Consequently, the Executive Committee felt that they had no option but to postpone all gatherings for worship on the Lord's Day and throughout the week. The Executive Committee were convinced that the necessity for this decision was further underlined by the startling reports being issued by the Department of Health with respect to the advancement of the virus through social contact in public gatherings. On the same day as the Executive Committee met, Mr. Robin Swan, Health Minister for Northern Ireland, said that in the case of an 80% infection rate, the Northern Ireland death toll could be in the region of 14,000. In Romans 13, we are taught by the Spirit of God to obey the civil government he has placed over us. The United Kingdom government is seeking to prevent the spread of the virus, has issued a call to various groupings, including churches, to cease public gatherings. The Executive Committee concluded that we have no option but to obey the directive of the powers that be. The executive committee also focused much on the issue of the public testimony of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. The committee concluded that due to the pandemic nature of the virus, it would be totally irresponsible to run the risk of endangering life by the high probability of spreading the virus through church gatherings. If this were to be the result, great shame would be brought upon our testimony as part of the body of Christ. Our opening praise is the Psalm 121, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. And I trust as we listen to a pre-recording of a former service that we will be blessed by this psalm. This psalm is so timely in the particular situation that we find ourselves in here in Northern Ireland and across the world. We worship God together in the singing of this psalm. Our psalm for today, as we read through the psalms, is the Psalm 6. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we find it in the 6th psalm. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee, in the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning, all the night make I my bed to swim, I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. May the Lord bless the reading of this psalm to every heart, a psalm that is very appropriate in such a time as this, when we think of the weeping and the distress that the psalmist found himself in. And yet he cries to the Lord with that assurance that the Lord would hear his supplication and receive his prayer. We've been thinking recently about that wonderful text in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. And as we come to pray and seek the face of God this Sabbath day. Here's the verse that we spoke on at the last prayer meeting that we had in a public sense when the Lord's people gathered on Thursday night last to seek the Lord just over there in the church hall and to pray over this verse of Scripture and over the great promises that are here. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And as we come this Sabbath day to prayer, we are very mindful of those that are suffering today. We're very mindful of those who are in the health service, the doctors and the nurses who are on the front line of fighting against this disease and receiving those who are affected by it. There is a dear man, a pastor from Newton Ards, Pastor Mark McClung. He's just 40 years of age. He has little children, and he has been very seriously ill with this particular virus. Other pastors in the province that we've heard about likewise who are in intensive care at this time. We think of all of our churches today that are so much affected by what's going on, and also those that are serving the Lord abroad on the mission field. So let's come together and seek the Lord in prayer. Let's pray over this text again. Let's seek the Lord earnestly in this time of great need. Our God and our Father, we lift our eyes this day, just as the Psalm 121 reminds us to do, to look away from ourselves, to look away from the situation that we find ourselves in the nation and throughout the world, and to look up to the hills. That expression that speaks about looking to the Lord, getting our gaze upon Him, the God of glory, knowing that the Lord is our keeper, the Lord is our shade and our right hand. We thank Thee that we can come to rest in the exceeding gracious, powerful promises of Your Word, and we can take great comfort in the truths of Scriptures and not least in the Psalms. And Father, this day we still our hearts before Thee in Thy holy presence. We come with great need as we think of all that is going on in the world today. We could never have anticipated such a time as this, a day when churches across the face of this world are closed to public gatherings, where men and women cannot come with freedom and liberty to worship God as we have enjoyed for centuries. And Lord, we think of lands that have this difficulty through persecution, but that's not what we're experiencing today. It is because of a disease that has come to inflict the nations of this world. And Father, as we think of that, we do pray for ourselves. We pray for our congregations. We pray for the people of God in general through this earth. They cannot get out to a place of worship to physically gather as they used to. But Lord, we pray that Thou will keep us near to Thee, and that Thou will keep us in worship to Thee, and that Thou will bless us as we seek to come together over the internet and have these services being broadcast in sermon audio and also on Facebook. Thank Thee for those that are listening in with us today, for our own congregation in Ballymoney that we love, and yet they can't be here as usual, and for our many sister congregations through Northern Ireland and across the United Kingdom and across the globe as well. Lord, we commit ourselves very simply into God's hands, into Thy care today, and we pray that Thou wilt watch over us. Many are fearful. Many are anxious. Many are downcast. And Lord, we know there are real reasons for that today as we think of the news and we think of the spread of this virus and we think of those that are sick and those that are in intensive care and those who are dying and those who have died. But Lord, we need our God of this time, the one who is the anchor for His people, the foundation of our faith. And therefore we come this day very simply to cast ourselves upon the Lord and upon His mercies and upon His goodness. We thank Thee that Thou art God over all, Thou dost reign supreme in this earth, and all things are under thy control, even what's happening with this virus. And we pray, Lord, for a conclusion, a speedy one, that will bring deliverance, that will bring healing, that will bring blessing. We pray that the world in general will look up to God. We feel saddened in our hearts that that has not been happening. And even though men are dying all around us, Lord, we hear of few in the unbelieving world who are turning to Christ. But Father, we pray that Thou will be merciful to them, that Thou will cause them in the midst of this pandemic to look up to God and to realize that they need to be saved. They need to be ready for the great eternity. And may this be the time when God in mercy will save them from their sin and bring them in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray for your people today, some of them isolated, some of them shut in. Lord, in every lonely moment, may they prove the sufficiency of the Lord, the one who will never leave us, the one who will never have to distance himself from us. And in this time when we are seeking to keep ourselves apart, the social distancing as it has been called, we thank Thee that there's no problem with the Lord being near to us and right beside us, as we shall come to see later on when we think of God being our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. We pray that your dear people will experience that, the near sense of the presence of the God that we know and love and seek to worship this day. We commit into your care our doctors, our nurses, the medical staff, those who are on the front line of this battle, that Thou wouldst bless them, that Thou wouldst give them peace of heart in their daily work, that Thou wouldst give them confidence in God in what they do, and that Thou wilt grant to them wisdom in the care of the patients that are under them. And Lord, we pray for recovery. We think of this dear pastor from Newton Ards, our brother Mark, and we commit him into your hands this day. And we pray for the healing touch of the Master's hand to be upon his body. Remember his dear wife and his little children. O God, be near to them at this time of crisis, and may they prove your sufficiency. Remember the other pastors that we've heard of, and the other people of God that are have come down with this disease. We pray that Thou will be near to them as well. And as we think of ourselves in this country and our churches here, we are mindful of our missionaries serving the Lord in various parts of the world. Some of them this day shut in their homes, and they can't get out either. Lord, be near to them and minister to them. And as they have opportunity to join with some of our congregations in worship today, bless them in their own soul and encourage them in the Lord. So continue with us now as we worship the Lord together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking of our missionaries that we have just prayed for, I want to remind you that we have the responsibility of holding the ropes in prayer on their behalf. And they are much more distant than we are. At least here in Northern Ireland, we know that our people are round about us. We have family, we have friends to be there when necessary. But our missionaries are isolated in different parts of the world. And so we have a special reason to remember them before the Lord. Meetings and events. I just want to mention this. The Missionary Council meetings have been postponed until further notice. All planned deputation meetings have been postponed or cancelled. And this includes the Reverend Patterson, missionary to Kenya, the Reverend Hall, Tasmania, Alejandro Bernabeu, who was to start his deputation work for Spain, and also the school in Uganda and the precious orphanage there in the land of Nepal. Thinking of our home workers, our children's and our youth workers have now stopped their work in the schools. And we have plans in place to allow them to continue their service to the children and young people by video. More details will be announced in this incoming week. Our home evangelists have postponed any planned missions and other activity and are helping out where they can in our local church. The churches of Spain have been closed, and the men there are using other communication to evangelize and keep in contact with the congregation, such as the website and WhatsApp and so forth. The Reverend Alvareth will not be coming now to Northern Ireland in the month of April to do his deputation meetings. Thinking of Nepal, the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal has now closed all church services in line with government announcements. Our sister Joy Gillespie will, for now, remain in Kathmandu and restrict her work according to the government advice in Nepal. Over in Kenya, the farewell service for our sister Margaret Russell that was planned for early May has been cancelled, as has the pastor's conference. We were to be there to share in these things, but all those things have now been called off. Miss Russell still plans to return home here to Northern Ireland later in the spring. The churches and shops are reviewing the situation as the Kenya government issues new advice. We think of Uganda. Our sister Noreen from this congregation and Andrew and Hannah Foster will continue to work in their respective roles in Uganda. Andrew and Hannah still plan to come home on furlough in the autumn time. The school and the church are now closed. The children have all been sent home. And our brother, Mr. Trevor Wiley, who was preaching in Uganda for the past few weeks, has arrived safely home in Northern Ireland. I got a text from him last night to indicate that he's back safely. Over in Liberia, the Reverend DeCanio and our sister Joanne Greer continue to work in Monrovia and expect that the church may close shortly. The radio work is a real asset at this time and will be the main part of the work for the next few weeks. Down under, in Australia, the Reverend Alf Hall has had to cut his deputation meeting short and has just arrived home in Tasmania yesterday. He will now commence a 14-day period of self-isolation. Mr. Noel Shields, who was covering there, has also rearranged travel plans and has just returned to Northern Ireland. The works in Tasmania, Perth, and Port Lincoln and Lough continue to observe the government advice at this time. All other planned travel to or from our mission fields, including work teams, VBS teams, and mission board members, is now cancelled or postponed. So we're asking you to continue to pray for our workers, that they would be protected at this difficult time, for our congregations overseas to be preserved, drawn closer in fellowship, and visited with revival, for the Lord to speak all around the world by these events, so that many souls will be saved, and also for clear guidance to be given to the mission board at this very challenging time, for new methods of evangelism to open up and be developed. All our mission fields will continue to be kept open in the future. I want you to pray that the Lord will overrule so that these events will fall out to the furtherance of the missionary work and the opening of new doors of opportunity. Pray that the Lord will step into the situation at this time of crisis and that it will soon pass. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, a very timely text as we think of our missionaries today. I'm going to worship God again and sing a missionary hymn in light of what we've just heard. Far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling. It's the hymn 675. Let's think of the words. Let's remember our missionaries today and the work of the gospel here at home and abroad.
Oh,
first time in my ministry that I'm going to welcome people to the house of God, and really we're welcoming folks that are not here in the building, but are listening in through the internet, sitting at home, maybe in front of a computer or a tablet of some description, or maybe your phone, and we want to welcome you in the Savior's great name. With the coronavirus epidemic, all public services have been suspended. However, by the grace of God, we continue with our services over the internet on Sermon Audio and Facebook. Thinking of tonight, we will be back in the house of God here for the preaching of the gospel at the usual time of 7 o'clock. And we want to keep things as relevant as possible as we think of what's happening in the world. And so I want to preach on coronavirus relevant warnings from Christ in such a time as this. And this is a sermon in the light of the coronavirus that is sweeping across the world. I want you to be much in prayer. We think of 6:30, the usual time of prayer, maybe around that time leading up to the service, the people of God could be much at the throne of grace. Tuesday night, we are picking up on Youth Challenge, which we cancelled last Tuesday night, which will now go out at 7 o'clock by the church's Facebook page. So do remember that, please. And get the young people, the children, and the young people living around the town to link up with us, if at all possible, as the Word of God goes out to them. I just want to mention something that has come our way. That's the wedding of Paul and Anita. This was to take place at Easter time, Easter Saturday, the 11th of April. But because things are increasingly getting worse in this country, the wedding is being brought forward now to this coming Wednesday. This will just be a small family occasion under the circumstances, and the Hebron Church wishes them God's richest blessing. Why don't you pray for Paul and Anita on a day that ought to have been really a big event for them, getting married and all the people coming together for that, and how things change so drastically. So we think about them, we pray for them, that the Lord will bless them indeed as they are married, God willing, this Wednesday. Thursday night, midweek service at 8 o'clock, and again this will be here at the church, but broadcast through Sermon Audio and Facebook. Link up with us and be one of our number as we break the bread of life together, and then encourage our people just where they are to have a wee time of prayer. Maybe this will be the revival of the family altar. If it's not held in your home, this will be the time when God steps in and causes us to worship as families again, mother, father, and children gathering around the throne of grace. Friday night youth fellowship, 8 o'clock. This will be by a private video conference through Zoom. If the young people haven't got that downloaded to their phone, they need to do that. And if you need information about it, you contact the youth leader, our brother, Mr. Samuel Johnston. Next Lord's Day, broadcasting live. Sabbath school, 11 o'clock. Bible class, 11 o'clock, going out there to our children and young people. And our services, 12 noon and 7, in the will of God. I'll be here to preach. We received a missionary gift of £230 that we want to acknowledge and thank the individual for. And the prayer requests, always at the end of the announcement sheet, are standing there. Many, many names to pray over, and others that have been added to the list. We were thinking about Brenda Weir, who has been very sick. A hospital worker comes here quite often, and remembering her, she is improving a little bit. We thank God for answered prayer. And Vanda McKeeman, prayer has been requested for this lady who is battling with cancer. Some of you will know this person, and therefore will be able to pray for her from your heart more intelligently. So keep these names with you, in your mind, in your heart, and before the Lord in prayer. Adding to that list, we've mentioned already in prayer, Pastor Mark McClung from Newton Ards, Elam, 40-year-old pastor with a wife and three small children. He has a daughter of five and two little twin boys of two, and he's in intensive care because of the coronavirus. Another pastor from outside Belfast, and I heard of another older man and his wife who have served the Lord for many years in the city of Belfast, and they're all in intensive care with coronavirus. Do remember those individuals in prayer, that the healing touch of God will be upon them. Now, there's some information during this time when there's no public services that I want to make just now. I want to say that the minister, myself, the home missioner, our brother Alejandro, the office bearers of the church, and some other volunteers from God's house here are available to help with the elderly, the vulnerable, the sick, and those who are in need. We will be working under strict health and safety rules due to the spread of COVID-19. We are happy to encourage you by a phone call, run an errand to collect groceries or medication, and these can be simply delivered to your doorstep. Pray for you at this time, we certainly are doing that, and to help with anything else, maybe something that is particular to you that we can help with at this time, please don't hesitate to ask. You can contact myself as the minister of the church, either my home number at the manse or my mobile number, or our home missioner, Alex Bernabeu, and that is his number, or one of the elders or the deacons, and they can always get the information to us. The minister and the office bearers will ring our seniors, the vulnerable and those in need each week. That's the plan as this pandemic continues in Northern Ireland over the next number of weeks. We want to keep in contact with those that are shut in, especially our seniors and those in particular need. We want also to reach out into the community, and leaflets will be delivered by the minister and the home missioner starting locally. We hope to start that in the incoming week, offering encouragement and help to our neighbours round about and showing them a little bit of practical Christianity at this time, if there's anything that we can do for them. And also taking the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Many have been asking over the past number of days about the giving to the Lord's work as we worship God in this. And so I've been asked to mention methods of receiving tithes, offerings, building fund, let the Bible speak, missionary covenants, and so forth. All that which you give to in the service of God on a week-by-week basis. And there are three ways that we're suggesting. First of all, for those that are maybe more technically minded, a bank transfer, and you can receive the bank details from the treasurer. Number two, you can put whatever into an envelope posted through the man's door, and this will be passed on to the treasurer. And number three, you can get a committee man to collect it from you. And if you need any other information about this, contact our treasurer, Mr. Ivor Buick, or a member of the committee. Now we're going to worship the Lord and sing together. It's not an easy road, and it's not an easy road in these days through the circumstances that we're facing in the world. It is the hymn 445. That's a good singing as we stand to sing. Let's really worship the Lord. Thank you. Just in case you have just tuned in and you think that we're meeting as a congregation, having looked at all those people singing, these are recordings, as you see here. You're listening to a pre-recording of a song in the past. And I want to thank Paul, who has been going through the archives and getting some of these hymns together so that we can maintain worship and praise and song, which is very much part of what we do in our service for Christ. You want to keep those words in mind, that we are often footsore and weary from travel, that we are often bowed down with care. A better day is coming when home in the glory we'll rest in perfect peace over there. It's not an easy road, men and women, but if you have Christ, thank God you have Jesus walking beside you, and he brightens the journey. May the Lord bless us as we come now to the Word of God. And I want to preach on coronavirus, the believer's confidence in such a time as this. And I have two Bible readings. I want to come to Matthew 24. Last Sunday night, we were in the second part of this chapter, and we were thinking about the exhortation of Christ, the command of Christ. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. I want to go to the opening part of the chapter, Matthew 24, and just by way of introduction to the subject, thinking of the pestilence that has overtaken the country and the world, I want to read these verses with you. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And then I'm coming to the Psalm 46 that I want to major upon today with you as we study the Word of God together, the Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And amen. May God bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let us bow together in a little word of prayer. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the unchanging truths and promises of your word. We're so glad, even as we meet here under different circumstances, with our congregation by and large not present, but listening in through the means of the internet, that God is still with us. He's still our refuge. He's still our strength. And we do want to still ourselves in the presence of God this day and recognize that thou art God over all. As we come to your precious word, speak to our hearts. Lord, in the midst of the crisis in the world, in the midst of all the fear and alarm and consternation that is happening right across this globe, and in our own nation particularly, and right here in our own province, when the hearts of men are filled with fear, we need a word from God, and we pray that you will speak to us in these days. May there be ears to hear what God is saying, and hearts to understand the message that God has for us in these times. Keep us diligent in the word. Give us an ear that is down there in the truth of God. And may we listen intently. And by the power and ministry of the Spirit, may your truths be applied to our minds, to our consciences, to our hearts. Fill me now with God the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to break the bread of life to those who listen this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 reminds us in the last days before his coming again, there shall be pestilences. Now we should not be surprised or alarmed by wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes. In fact, they are to be expected because we read about them here in the prophetic words of Christ. Just a few days before the cross, as the Lord and his disciples leave the temple, and some kind of remark is made to the Lord by the disciples to the effect, Lord, look at these beautiful buildings, these magnificent buildings. The Lord Jesus says, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And of course, that provoked the disciples to ask the question that we read in verse 3. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They inquired into matters of eschatology, those things that are to be, and particularly the last things, when the end of the world shall come, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return to this earth again. They wanted to know these things. And the Lord gave them an answer, quite an extensive answer, not merely to satisfy their curiosity, but to instruct them, to warn them, to prepare them. And part of what he had to tell them was to do with pestilences. Look again there at verse 4 that we read in the next couple of verses. Jesus answered, said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he goes on in verse 7 to speak about the nations rising against nations and the kingdoms against kingdoms and the famines, the pestilences, the earthquakes in diverse places or various places. And then he says in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Just the beginning. When you see these things happening in the world, our blessed Lord said it's just the beginning of sorrows. Last week I told the congregation to remember that God is over all, on the throne of eternal glory. Nothing happens in this world by chance. All things are ordered by a gracious and a loving God after His own divine purposes, even when we don't understand it. And we cited the verse of Romans 8 and 28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We must always keep personal circumstances and world events in perspective. My mind and heart has been drawn to the Psalm 45. And it has been drawn there on a number of occasions, especially in recent days. In fact, it's a suitable psalm to read in any situation of life where there's difficulty. And maybe already here's a psalm that is precious to you, very meaningful to you. You've read it in the difficult times of your life. Matthew Henry, he said this psalm encourages us to hope and trust in God and His power and providence and gracious presence with His church in the worst of times, and directs us to give Him the glory of what He has done for us and what He will do. Probably it was penned upon occasion of David's victories over the neighboring nations, 2 Samuel 8, and the rest which God gave him from all his enemies round about. This psalm is known as Luther's psalm. The German reformer wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God," as a paraphrase of this psalm. And in those days of greatest distress, he had the habit of calling for this psalm. And he would say, "Let us sing the 46th psalm in concert, and then let the devil do his worst." Campbell Morgan said, "Comment on this great song of confidence seems almost unnecessary. So powerful has it taken hold on the heart of humanity, and so perfectly does it set forth the experience of trusting souls in all ages and tumultuous times." Spurgeon called the Psalm 46 a song of holy confidence, and that's what I want to draw attention to today. In the light of coronavirus, I want to speak about the believer's confidence in such a time. The picture presented in the 46th Psalm is one of great commotion and disturbance, as we shall see in a moment from verses 2 and 3. Coronavirus has undoubtedly caused great disturbance in this world. I've never known a time like it in my lifetime, when every nation is affected, every country is grinding to a standstill, and countries are coming to a lockdown situation. But what we learn is this: God is in control. He knows what He's doing. He's working out His will and His sovereign purpose, and He has lessons for all of us to learn. It's an instructing time, and I hope that the world hears from heaven, discerns the voice of God at this time. Sadly, the majority will ignore anything spiritual. They will turn their backs upon the Lord. But affliction is used by God to speak, and there will be many, undoubtedly, and I trust ourselves, who will hear the voice of God in the midst of it all. Now, what is God saying in this time of coronavirus? What is He saying to a perishing world, to those that are lost? If you're listening in to this message today and you know not Christ as Savior, what is the Lord saying to you? He has a message for you. And He's saying to you, prepare to meet thy God. He's saying, repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. He's saying, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He is saying to you, humble yourself before Almighty God. This is the message to the unconverted world. This is the message of God to you who know not Christ. And what is he saying to his own dear people? Well, I believe at least one of the things that he's saying is, I am in control, absolute control. I am on the throne. And he's saying, get your priorities right. We've got to get our priorities right. And if you haven't been attending to the priorities that you should have been attending to, God is now saying, in the midst of what's happening in this nation, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then all the other things will be added unto you. The believer's confidence in such a time as this. I have three thoughts from this psalm as we seek to bring the thoughts of the teaching of this psalm together that I want to leave with you. I want to say, first of all, that there are the circumstances of great affliction. And it's summarized in verses 2 and 3. Therefore will we not fear. Now I want you to see what the picture here is that the psalmist, by the inspiration of God, is setting before us. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And the Lord has this little word here, Selah, put in so that we might stop there, that we might consider what the Lord has just said, that these truths, this picture that he's setting before us, might grip our hearts, that we might think upon it. The psalmist is considering the most frightening, turbulent, natural phenomena imaginable. Those things which cause the greatest amount of fear to men. And the picture here, or the imagery, is one of the earthquake. Can you imagine the ground shaking beneath you with the most forcible tremor? The earth being removed. Strong, firm mountains being uprooted and thrown into the sea to be buried in the unfathomable ocean. The mighty sea roaring and raging all around us, making the most dreadful noise. Its foaming billows crashing against the shore with such violence as to shake the mountains. This is the picture that is presented to us. Have you ever been there? My brother, my sister, your circumstances being of such a nature that you feel that you are in the midst of such devastation and turmoil. I've never witnessed an earthquake of this kind of magnitude. Well, not in the flesh. I've just seen, as many of you have, pictures of it on the news or on reports or documentaries. I've never stood near the shore where a huge tsunami has arisen and swept across a particular country, not in the physical sense. But David uses this physical phenomena to describe the most adverse experience imaginable. We feel we are a little bit there with coronavirus, don't we? And some feel it more keenly than others. There are those out in society, and we have met them. We have met them in the past week, and they are fearful. And we think of the elderly. We think of the vulnerable. We think of those of an anxious disposition. And we think of those that are sick and maybe even dying. And they are feeling the turbulence of their experience, perhaps more than most people around them. Now, this picture might describe national or world troubles, countries that are embroiled in war, tossed with tumults, facing plagues or pestilences and viruses. This scene might very well be a portrait of the persecuted church. We don't know much about the persecuted church as far as our own situation is concerned in this country, but we do know of the Lord's people in other places, and it's a turbulent way for them as they seek to live out their testimony in persecuted church countries. Here indeed is a picture that defines all colossal troubles that may befall us. Convulsions in the business world, chaos in family life, turmoil in our health, The great storm has arisen, the earthquake has come, and it's violent, it is disturbing, and it's very threatening. If David is referring to the history of 2 Samuel chapter 8, then it was the wars that he had with the surrounding nations, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Syrians, the Amalekites, and the Edomites in particular. And there's a wonderful little text in that history that's worth mentioning in passing. Surrounded by all these nations and surrounded by all these difficulties, in 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 6, just at the end of the text, it says, "The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went." And it's repeated again at the end of verse 14, "The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went." Now, it may refer to those wars that he had with the surrounding nations. But of course, it could point to any other great commotion in the circumstances of God's servant which he endured, and there were many. And I could take you to other examples in the scripture, in the volume of this book. When we think of Noah in the time of the flood, we think of Joseph and all the various dark providences that befell him. We think of Moses at the Red Sea and all that was happening at that moment. We think of Gideon's battle with the Midianites. We think of Elijah's juniper tree when he was there sitting discouraged and depressed and wanting to die. We think of Paul and all the problems that he had as a Christian minister in so many different ways. And you could go on and on and on to speak of the great roaring times. And the times when God's people in the past, in biblical history and ever since, have passed through. What about your circumstances today? Are you in a place of great affliction that could be described by David's words here in verses 2 and 3 of this psalm? What about the nation? Is it describing what's happening here in the United Kingdom at this time, other nations of the world? When we think of China, we think of Italy, we think of Spain, we think of other European countries. Could we describe their circumstances in the words of the psalmist here? The earth being removed, mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, waters roaring, troubled, and so forth. So we think of the mountains shaking. Oh yes, there is here indeed the circumstances of great affliction. But secondly, we have the certainties of great assurance. And I want you to look there at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, many of the other psalms begin with describing the great crisis that the psalmist found himself in. You go back to the Psalm 3 and mark what it says in the opening verse. A psalm when David was fleeing from Absalom, his son. That was a real difficult time in David's experience. And he cries out here right at the beginning of the psalm, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me." Turn over to chapter 10 and verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? That's how he felt. And in chapter 13, verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And then you go to chapter 22, prophetic, of course, of our dear Savior himself, but no doubt with a powerful application to the one who's writing here, even David, as he cries out from his soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And these psalms and other psalms, they begin with the crisis. But this Psalm 46 begins with God's greatness and provision, declaring from the very outset of the psalm what God Almighty is to his people. And so the psalmist commences, God is. These two words standing by themselves instills tremendous assurance and comfort into the hearts of the Lord's believing people. No matter what befalls us, no matter what crosses our paths, no matter what trial overtakes us, no matter what earthquake disturbs our peace, no matter what tremor shakes our very foundation, God is, and that is a certainty beyond dispute. A very deep and dark trouble may enter into our lives, into our families, into our churches, into our communities, into the nation, and the very present circumstances we can speak of into the world. But here is an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And what is that anchor? It is simply this, dear child of God. God is. The Almighty Lord of heaven and earth is the everlasting, ever-existing, ever-present God. And what is God to his people? Our refuge and our strength. The refuge points to a hiding place. And the word strength teaches us that he's strong on behalf of his people and in his people. I can rest in no other. In the most difficult times of life's experience, whatever the world throws at us, whatever the devil throws at us, I think of the fiery darts of the wicked one. But in those times, God is my refuge. He's my strength. Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. So many of the Psalms especially are filled with this imagery. God is the rock. God is the fortress, the pavilion, the deliverer, the high tower, the defense. And here's where we run to. Here's where we learn to abide. Here is where we seek shelter and protection and fortitude in God himself, the refuge and the strength of his people. You remember that time when God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend in Exodus 33? There was a deep cry from the heart of Moses to be shown two things. Show me now thy way in verse 13, and show me thy glory in verse 18. God told him that he would cause his goodness to pass before his dear child. And he said to him, you will not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live, but you will see my back parts. Moses was going to get a glimpse of God, just a glimpse. And that glimpse would be so powerful, so majestic, so overwhelming that Moses had to be hidden by God. And so the Lord said, stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass when my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And God, the refuge and the strength of his people, he still does this for his blood-bought children today. He puts us into the cleft of the rock and he hides us in the midst of danger. This reminds me of Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. There is a verse in another psalm that has been an anchor to my soul and to God's believing people through the centuries. And that's that wonderful verse in Psalm 27 and verse 5, where it says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Or you might think of the words of Solomon in Proverbs 18 and 10, where he says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Brethren and sisters, you've got to believe this. You've got to anchor your soul here. The psalmist also tells us that God is a very present help. Not a God who is at a distance, not a God who is afar off, but one who is right beside you, closer than any. Well, we can't be close today because of the coronavirus, and there has to be this distancing the one from the other, and that's a right measure to take. But I reminded the children last Friday morning as school broke up for the last time, children going home now, well, we don't know for how long, several months to be sure. But I reminded them, for I spoke in some of these words in the Psalm 46, that there are times when you come to the assembly and on a Friday morning they get a little treat and we go out into the fellowship area and there we sit together and we sing together and the children often are very close together. And I reminded them, sometimes you're so close, you're touching one another. Well, God is even nearer than that. He's a very present help in the time of trouble, nearer than any other person in this world. I pray that we will be made more aware of this in these days, to have that consciousness of the nearness of God. And you may wish to note God's voice. We haven't time to do that in verses 6 and 7, but think about the voice of God. For I want to hasten to my third point, and it is this. There is here the consolation of great application. I want you to know that what we read in this psalm, in the midst of the circumstances of the tumult and the earthquake and the difficult time, there is tremendous consolation that we can apply to our hearts. One of them is, fears are dispelled. That's why the psalmist was able to say in the opening part of verse 2, "Therefore will not we fear." It is because what God is to his people, a refuge and a strength and a very present help, that the author of this song can declare with assurance and with confidence, "Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed," and so on. How many fears surround us in this life? How many anxieties have got a hold of us in these days? However, the more we realize these sweet assurances of the psalm, the more our fears are dispelled, and we come to a place of blessed peace of mind, and we say, "We will not fear." That's a great consolation. Fears are dispelled. But look at verses 4 and 5. There's a great supply. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Even when the waters of the sea roar and are troubled, thank God there is a river of divine grace and supply. The great promises of the Word of God are mighty streams. And the mighty Spirit of God is a river of comfort to the believing soul. The writer here, again, is borrowing from the physical to describe something. Something that we have in our God. The river here alludes to the waters of Siloam, which ran softly by Jerusalem. We read about it in the Old Testament scriptures. One of the places is there in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. But the application is spiritual. It's what we have in the Lord. In the last day of the feast, John chapter 7, Jesus cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles emphasized how God provided water to Israel in the wilderness on their way to Canaan. And here the Lord invites people to come to him and drink from him and be satisfied. Here indeed is the river of great supply, an oasis in the desert, a refreshment in the troubles of life, a place where we can satisfy our deepest thought, and that's in Christ. And thank God the invitation is as broad as Christ declares it. If any man, want you to see that, if any man thirst, to come to Jesus and drink is essentially to put your faith in him. Some of you need to do this to the saving of your souls. In this time of crisis, when the earth is removed, flee to Christ, the refuge, and drink from him by faith, and receive of his grace and his mercy and his salvation at this time. And for God's dear people tossed in the storms of life with the greatest upheavals happening all around, again flee to our blessed Lord and Savior and put your trust in him. And if you get to this place, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, you will be abundantly satisfied. And then just as we close, I want you to look at verse 7 as we think of the consolation of great application. We have another one here. The presence of God is known. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the greatest consolation of all, that the Lord of hosts is with his people. This is where David confided implicitly. This is where Israel found her true security. The Lord of hosts, or the Lord of armies, as it can be translated, is with us. This name of God, the Lord of hosts, or Jehovah of hosts, occurs 261 times in the Bible. This God who is the Lord, the supreme governor of all, who rules the angels, who rules the stars, who rules the elements, all the hosts of heaven and the heaven of heavens. This God is with his people on earth, no matter what our circumstances are. May this truth be instilled into our hearts, especially today, in the midst of what's going on in the country. Know this, that he's the Lord of the coronavirus. You just keep that in mind. Therefore, be still and know that I am God. In verse 10. Be still in the midst of the commotions. Be still in the midst of the turbulence. Be still in the midst of the earthquake and the midst of the great swelling times. Be still in the midst of your adverse circumstances. Be still in the midst of coronavirus. Be still, be still, be still. Here's the message of God to your soul and mind today. That is, quiet in your heart and your soul down. Know the peace of God in these stormy days. Dear child of God, tossed in your mind because of uncertainty and anxiety, be still and know that I am God. I, says the Lord, am on the throne of eternal glory. I am in control of everything that happens in heaven and on earth. I reign supreme and sovereign in all things. He's saying, I am God. This led Jonathan Edwards to state the sole consideration that God is God is sufficient to still all objections to his sovereignty. And this is where we rest. And this is where we come to, my dear believing people, in the midst of the coronavirus. Here's the confidence that we have in such a time as this. Lean upon it. The truths, the declarations, the promises of the Psalm 46, in the midst of all the commotion that is happening, the swelling time, the shaking all around us, know that God Almighty is on the throne and he's still your refuge, he's still your strength, he's still your present help in the time of trouble. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for the truths of your word. We thank thee that this psalm comes to a great conclusion when it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And as we listen to the news and the media, and we see so much disturbance and so many legitimate fears, so many things that would cause us to be downcast, Lord, may we anchor our souls in thee. May we anchor our souls in your word. Yes, indeed, in this very psalm, the Psalm 46, and have the confidence in our heart of hearts that Jehovah God, the Lord of the armies of the world, is with his people. And the God of Jacob is still the refuge of his people today. Lord, hide your word deeply in our hearts. Use it for your glory, to calm us, to settle us, to bring us to the place where we are still and we recognize that God is God supreme. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.